My friends, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. It's not a good day in the world. It's not a good day for me. It's not a good day for the world. Israel is on fire, literally. And today's episode is about Christians, Jews, Muslims, religion. You know, I was told once by my mother, God bless her, that you shouldn't really talk about religion or politics because it tends to isolate people and people tend to not be too happy about those two subjects, especially on first dates. Well, here I am on the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. We talk a lot about religion and politics on this show. Why? Because it's very relevant to your life, and overwhelmingly, people don't want to talk about it with their friends, with their family, because it's so polarizing. You'd rather listen to people like me talk about it, people in the media, people in podcasting. You'd rather hear us talk about it, whether you agree with us or disagree with us. But I want to title this show, The Cross is Cracked. Why would I say such a thing, and what does it mean? It's very simple. The cross is cracked because, I don't know why, but overwhelmingly, I keep seeing on social media, especially on X, Christians, supposedly, coming out and saying that Jews are no good, Israel's a synagogue of Satan, they're no good, and that we need to get rid of the state of Israel. And I say, like, wait, hold up a second, Austin. I mean, anybody over the age of 30 or 40, or people who are younger who have actually read history and pay attention to these things, and they follow the bouncing ball, they'd be aware that the older people support Israel, and the younger people tend to support Palestine. Get a whole show on it. But I think we need to back it up. We need to really touch the history down, because the heart of everything that's related to the Middle East, you can't say the Middle East without really bringing up the Crusades. What were the Crusades? Well, let's talk about the history of the Crusades. They started in 1095 AD and ended in about 1291. In 1095, Pope Urban II launched the first crusade to reclaim Jerusalem and the Holy Land from Muslim rule. Oh yes, your friends, the Muslims, the mullahs that you now see in Iran, the mullahs you see in Afghanistan, the mullahs you see in Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia. Don't need to go down the list, Pakistan. Don't need to go down the list here. You know why you see them taking over everywhere? Answer, because they've been doing it since the last 1,000 years. That's why. Nothing new are we seeing today. The suicide bombings we see all over the West, the shootings, the Allah Akbar people. It's not new. It's been going on for years. And by years, I mean at least 1,000 years. It's been going on, and yet you have people like, oh, what was her name? Her name was Victoria something, the woman who disrupted that Muslim rally. She had serious guts, I gotta tell you. She had some serious guts. I mean, I love this woman. But then you got people, nice-looking white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Indian people, that get up on social media, and they're like, oh, no, no, no. There's nothing wrong with Muslims. I mean, I know some Muslims. Overwhelmingly, they seem like peaceful people. I mean, they gave me some pita bread, and they don't seem so bad. Well, my friends, you know, I would like to... I don't think I've read anybody that has a better quote than Winston Churchill on this matter, and I'll read to you what Winston Churchill said. He said the following. He said that the influence of the religion was the problem in Islam. While individual Muslims might demonstrate virtuous qualities, it is the influence of the religion that is as dangerous in a man as hydrophobia in a dog. Now, you might be offended by that. You might say, why are we bringing up dogs? Well, number one, Muslims hate dogs. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Oh, yeah. On top of not wanting you to eat bacon and your ham sandwich at lunchtime, they also don't like dogs. They view them as filthy animals. That means all you nice liberal white women who have two dogs instead of two kids, they're coming for your dogs, in case you didn't know. Oh yeah, you ever seen these videos on social media where these nice Arabic Pakistani kids are poking dogs with sticks, trying to get them all riled up and the dog is angry? Oh, yeah. It's very real. And unfortunately, people don't want to talk about that. It's only that Israel's bad. Is Israel perfect? No. Whoever said it was. It's like every other country on earth. It's not sacred in the sense that it's, you can't be, they're not infallible people. In fact, they're run by arguably worse leftists than what we see in America, if you can believe it. But again, I see the rhetoric of old AH coming back from the grave from almost 100 years ago in the same way it's being used all over again. It's being recycled. Let's go back to the Crusades. 1099, Crusaders capture Israel, establishing the Kingdom of Israel, a Christian state in a Muslim-majority region. Next event was 1147 to 1149. A second crusade falls to recapture. The second crusade is launched to reconquer the territory. In 1187, Muslim General Saladin retakes Jerusalem, sparking the crusade, the third one that is, led by Richard the Lionhearted. Sound familiar? 1204, Fourth Crusade is diverted to Constantinople and it weakens Christian unity. Next, 1217 to 1272. Last Crusades, the fifth through the ninth, if you can believe it, gradually fail to regain any ground. And then the fall of Acre ends the Crusaders' presence in the Holy Land in 1291. Now, you might ask how this affects the modern-day state of Israel, Palestine, Syria, Egypt, and etc. And I'll tell you, because it's right here. I did a little research for you. Both Jews and Muslims alike refer to the Crusades to support their claims to the land. The Crusades are often seen by Muslims as an early example of Western invasion and colonialization. Now, let me pause right there. Colonialization. Let me ask you something. Who colonized who? When you look back to what I just read, in 1295, the Pope launches the first crusade to reclaim, not lay claim, reclaim Jerusalem from the Muslims who took it over. Oh, in case you didn't know that, much like Christianity before it, Islam was overwhelmingly spread by the sword early on. In fact, arguably, the Muslims, after the death of Muhammad, had the second best overall campaign in human history. They went from being next to nobodies, some backwoods shepherds from Nowhereville, to having an empire bigger than Rome. If you can believe it. They went from the Middle East to all the way up into Spain, all across Northern Africa, going up into Europe, going over into China, going into India. Why do you think we see Pakistan? You know how Pakistan was formed? Pakistan was formed during the Mahatma Gandhi years when the Muslims were kicked out of India into forming their own state. You didn't know that, did you? The Hindus and the Muslims don't get along very well. In fact, the Muslims don't get along with anybody besides themselves. And even then, the Sunni, the Shiite, and etc., they don't get along very well. Now, I will admit to you, the Christians are not much better when it comes to the Protestant and Catholic conflicts that have been going on for the past couple hundred years. However, thanks to a certain man named Martin Luther, and not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther, Christianity went through a reformation. We see the reformation's effects. Christians are not killing each other anymore over theological differences, like Catholics and Protestants, etc. They're not killing each other anymore, thank God. Jews have reformed Judaism and Orthodox Judaism. They had a reformation. The Muslims have no reformed Islamic teachings. Why do you think they rape 8-year-old girls, marry 10-year-old ones, and throw gays off roofs? You think I'm making it up? Go look it up for yourself if you think I'm making it up. Is this too harsh for you? You want me to be nice about these human pieces of garbage? I won't do it. I don't know who you think you're listening to, but I'm not a shill for one side or the other. I am a historian. I see the truth and I speak it. And if you don't like it and you want to be a shill on one side or the other, hang up the show and never listen to me again. Because I don't want to hear this belly aching of, oh, well, Austin, the Jews are this or the Palestinians are that. I don't like seeing innocent people being killed. How's that? I don't like it. But guess what? I did a whole show about wartime propaganda that you probably missed. And as any good teacher, I'm pissed that you missed my show. So maybe you should go back and you should listen to what I did on the rules of wartime propaganda. You might ask why. You just want more ratings? Well, sure, I want more ratings. You know what I also want? I want you to be educated. I want you to know the difference between reality and fiction. I really do. I want you to know the difference between reality and fiction. Because you may not know, but it's not just Israel and Palestine. We see the same thing happening in the Russian conflict. We see it in every single conflict that's happened in the last recent historical context. Now, let's return to the issue at hand, my friends. I realize that I'm being a little more aggressive. Maybe I'm scaring some people, especially the women who listen to the show. Maybe I'm scaring them. Maybe they want me to talk a little more like this, with a nice, calming, relaxing voice that might lead you to sleep, you know, kind of like I'm NPR. I don't get government funding like NPR, but maybe I can sit here and just soothe you into a nice, relaxed state. You ready to continue? I'm very glad. Let's revisit what we were talking about. Western-Muslim relations. The Crusades are often cited in Arabic and Islamic discourse as historical grievances reinforcing distrust of Western intervention in the Middle East. I don't understand how people don't read. In case you want me to repeat for the fourth time, the Crusades only happened because the Muslims invaded Jerusalem first. Oh, in case you didn't know and you want to educate yourself, I'm happy to do it for you. You are aware that in Ishtar 240 it says the Jews are a nation of liars, that they are a treacherous, lying, and evil people. What was that? Was that from the Bible? Nope. It was from the Quran. Oh, you mean that that Arabs, especially Muslims, they don't like Jews? No, I would never have guessed that. I love it. They use the same game that the communists use, in case you didn't know that. You know, I actually asked this, so my girlfriend has her own, she does live streams on TikTok. And there was this guy who started trolling in the comment section talking about how in Revelation that the angel said to John that the Jews were the synagogue of Satan. And I pulled up the text and I was like, no, actually, that's incorrect. But what's interesting is so many people, they're quick to choose a side. They don't want to sit down and have a hard conversation of reason and logic. Because the problem is, it's easy to choose a side. It's easy to get emotional. It all goes back to the wartime propaganda stuff. Because as soon as they get you emotional, you don't even need logic at that point. It doesn't matter to you anymore. What matters is how you're feeling. That's what matters when it comes to, that's why so many things, if you look in the media, are designed to make you feel sympathetic to people. For all you know, they're trying to make you feel bad for some gangbanger who just got shot. Oh no, I feel so bad. Somebody got killed. You don't know who it was. Don't know what they did. For all you know, they're a Catholic, Irish Catholic nun, or they're some MS-13 gangbanging piece of garbage. You don't know. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because now you feel bad, and you don't even care about the truth anymore because you feel bad. In the same way that that so-called Maryland dad who got deported by Trump supposedly was this amazing father and this amazing husband. Meanwhile, he has MS-13 gang member tattoos. But you see, if you leave that last part out, or you put it in at the end, saying he had some controversial tattoos, all of a sudden people are like, oh, wow. You know, I feel really bad about that. Somebody should do something about that, because that's not okay. But you see how when you lead with having people feel bad, then immediately people don't care about what the actual facts are that you're talking about. It's the same way when it comes to unfortunately, relationships between Jews and Christians right now. You'd be surprised how many people are on social media, especially. And I get it. They're trying to make money. I get it. But what's sad is people are so consumed with going along with the propaganda. You know how many AI images there are of these kids begging like they're starving in Gaza? First of all, it's not run by the Jews. I know you might think that, but it's actually run by Hamas. And I have not seen one of these good pieces of garbage that protest on the side of the street, free Palestine, stop the Jews, war is not the answer. I haven't heard one word from these good pieces of rubbish talking about how Hamas needs to be held responsible and we stand with the people of Palestine and we want peace. No, it's only Jews are bad. It's never anything else. It's only Jews are bad. It's, hey, you know what? We want justice. We want justice across the board. Instead, it's no. We want you to know that Putin started the war in Ukraine. But what we don't want you to know is that Hamas started the conflict in Israel. They don't want you to know that part because, oh, it doesn't go with the narrative. Because, as you might know, Nazis hate both Russians and Jews, considering they fought a war against Russians and against Jews. You don't know that, maybe. I hope you do. But most people don't. Why? Because they're not educated. They have no idea that the so-called democratic socialists, you know, like Bernie Sanders, AOC, that's the same stuff that was used in Russia. Oh yeah, the Russian communists were called democratic socialists before the revolution. You might ask why and how that's relevant to this discussion. And I'll tell you why and how it's relevant to the discussion. Because they founded a dynasty that would then become the USSR that was around for a very long time until the 1980s. Arguably, it never fell, but we'll do that another time. The USSR had their intelligence agency called the KGB, an organization that Putin just so happened to be a part of, who's still running Russia to this day. And there was this man named Yasser Arafat who ran Palestine for a while, and his rhetoric was, from the river to, we need to get rid of those nasty Jews. From the river to the sea, we want rivers of blood, and we want the Jews gone. And the communists were like, ooh, we're no friends of Israel, but this is bad press for us. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to Yasser Arafat and say, hey, you need to stop calling for the death of Jews, because that doesn't sell. That's not classy. That, people don't like death, dying, destruction. Like, no. That's too brazen. People are like, ugh, I feel gross even hearing it. Ugh. What you gotta do instead of saying how bad the enemy is, you gotta talk about how oppressed, how you have grievances that must be addressed, and that you're the ones being persecuted. You might wonder where the Free Palestine, from the river to the sea. You might wonder where all these things came from, and the answer, my friends, is from the KGB. Because they realized they were no friends of Israel either, by the way. Communists are not a huge fan of Israel. Even communist Jews, so-called, they don't like Israel. Oh yeah, you might not know that, but they don't like Israel. In the same way that communists, the nice progressives, they don't like Israel. What you might not know is they're not actually Democrats. Not in the true sense of the word, they're not actually Democrats. In the same way that Nazis are not Republicans. The problem is, everybody gets lumped into one big group. But the cross has been cracked because there are so many people who don't actually read the scriptures. They don't understand that the Jews are supposed to be protected by Christians. They're the chosen people. Now, does that mean every single Jew is this better than any other person? No! It means that God has a place for them in his plan for the universe, and like everybody else, you should treat them with care, respect, and protect them. That's the way it should work. But the problem is, we've been so subverted and lied to by these sleeper agents, these bad actors, into believing the exact opposite, that the Jews are the problem. Let me ask you something. Let's say that all of a sudden, all these Nazis, these Muslims, these people, they got their wish, that suddenly all Jews are gone. Who's the next scapegoat? Do I dare ask the question? I just did. Who's the next scapegoat? Because there's always going to be one. Who is on the chopping block next? You know, in the French Revolution, there was a saying that the guillotine was always thirsting for blood. Because initially, they turned the guillotine upon their enemies. Before long, they turned it upon their friends and eventually on themselves. The gutters of France running red with the blood of the guillotine's victims. And the problem is people don't know their history. They don't understand that the French Revolution is exactly the same, mirrored after the Russian one, and the one that's coming in America not very long from now. In fact, we were already in the beginning stages of it. Now, my friends, you might ask me, what does this have to do with the cross being cracked? And the answer is because Christianity is losing its fervor and its passion. And the only people who have passion in the Christian church seem to be the bad actors, the ones talking about how nasty Jews are. They seem to be the loudest voices. It's either one side of the aisle you got gay marriage is great, and on the other side you got Jews are bad. And everybody in the middle is just milk toast. And they're basically just a social club. The problem is we don't have leadership in the Christian church. That's why I have a hard time going to church. Because there's not real leadership. It's just religion incorporated with the fanatics being the crazies. And they're leading people astray for the most part, in my opinion. That's why I wrote a book about as a man going your own way, but not giving up on your spirituality. It's on your screen right now. It's called Biblical Bachelor. I'm going to revise it and write a whole... I have new books coming out. It's just expensive to write books and self-publish. My friends, it's important for us as men and women of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. The reason I call it the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, I've told this story multiple times, I know. But I'm going to do it again. The reason I am going to tell you this again is it's relevant. The reason I named the podcast what it is because the wolves are getting smarter. See, back in the day, the wolves would just slaughter sheep and eat them and move on. But now they're getting smarter. They realize, you know what? Instead of slaughtering them and having a one-time fix, I'm going to shear the wool and it'll grow back and I'll come back and take more. In other words, they're going to continually use you. They're going to make you into their slave, whether it be physically or mentally. And once they got your mind, they have your soul, they have everything else they need. Do not fall for the tricks. The wolves in sheep's clothing are all around you. The problem is people are scared. They're scared to speak out like I do on this show. They're afraid to stand out because if they stand out, they're afraid they're going to get played whack-a-mole with by the bullies in the mainstream media, the bullies in the schools, the bullies maybe you have in your family, the nice so-called progressives who would rather have an illegal alien move next, illegal alien come in the country than a hard-working white man. You want to get down and dirty with it? I'll get down and dirty. The white man and the black man are being replaced by the illegal alien piece of rubbish. But the problem is people don't care about that. Not enough. The silent majority needs to pick up their swords, metaphorically speaking, and be the Odysseus, go on a journey to stop the Cyclops juggernaut and stop this insanity. The infidels need to come together and fight the influx of people who are coming to their doors as barbarians and beating their gates down. Am I saying all immigrants are bad? No, of course not. There are great immigrants to this country. The problem is, there are the legal ones, not the illegal ones. There's a distinction. There's a difference. The problem is, people don't want to know the difference. They think just immigrant. They don't think illegal versus legal. They don't care. My friends, you let me know. You have these Christian friends, so-called, who hate Jews? I gotta know. I see a trend happening and I want it to stop. The so-called amazing people of the world who support the people of Palestine are cheering right now that Israel is on fire. Yes, you heard me right. And yet I don't hear a single person who supports Israel talking, cheering at the death of innocent people. There's a difference. My friends, let me know what you think. Let me know if this has impacted you personally. I want to hear about it. Until then, take care of yourself. I'm out. Peace.